Alrighty, well, welcome back. How's it going, everybody? Welcome to that time of the week. I'm your host, Matthew Morgan, and today I was going to talk about the Harden game, but I kind of talked about that to fill the empty space at the top of the hour there. I can go over it, I guess, in case somebody's just tuning in. There's not really a whole bunch to go over. River Valley lost to Harden. Harden won 32-20. So there's that. Harden and River Valley are both now 2-3. So again, there's that. I did talk to River Valley's coach and Harden's coach before the game. Coach Wessler, being Harden's coach, told me that River Valley is a pass-heavy team, and they wanted to have a good pass defense, which they did. They had I want to say 3 interceptions, but it could have been 4. Scott says 4, but I don't know. It could have been 3. I did not keep count. But they also had two fumbles. Maybe 3 fumbles. They were a lot of fumbles. I think they had a fumble earlier in the game. Then there was a pick that they got, which they immediately fumbled. And then they fumbled again. Maybe. I could be wrong on the last fumble. But either way, a rough day for River Valley. Harding's coach certainly got the good pass defense they wanted. And they also wanted to take away the first option on the pass plays, as he told me that was a weakness River Valley has. If you take away their first read, or I guess the quarterback's first read, the primary receiver, he struggles, which, certainly seemed to be the case. He also said that they wanted to have a strong pass rush, which, you know, I think all coaches do, but he also did mention that River Valley has an entirely returning line, so all 5, guys up front, as far as offensive linemen go, are returning from last year, which is a bonus on their side, because that's, you know, it's just experience. They have an experienced lineman, or line, not linemen. He said that offensively they wanted to get the passing game going, which they did. The passing game went rather well. They tore up River Valley. In the passing game, River Valley did well passing too, for the most part. Besides the interceptions, which I mean, that's a lot. I mean 3. Even if it is 3 interceptions, I mean that's a rough stat line. Because the running game, he said, has been going well all year. So they wanted to get the passing game going as well. Which, like I said, they did. Harding's coach did exactly what he said he wanted to do. And River Valley's coach, I asked him what he expected out of the game. He said to win, which, again, did not happen. His prediction was wrong. Coach Waddle, by the way, I don't know if I mentioned that, which is River Valley's coach, which I'm pretty sure I said. He said that my head broke for a second. He said that he felt his team prepared well, which they may or may not have, but they did not play like it. He also said that he wanted to establish a ground game, which they tried to do. They did try to establish a ground game, but it seemed that Harding's ground game was just better. So they said they wanted to establish a ground game to get the passing game going, which, again, the pass game was kind of, you know, it was rough. 3 or 4 interceptions. And he said he wanted to have a physical defense to get a good pass rush, which, again, similar to Harding, pass rush, as well as a good run defense, which the run defense was rather not good, as Landon Keller proceeded to run all over River Valley. Well, not just him. I mean, there was Josiah. I should have kept the paper. I want to say Josiah Goodman, but I don't know that that's right. But yeah, number 34, I do believe, was his number. Juju Glover also got a rushing touchdown. Number 22, I do believe, is his number. So Harding played well today. They have a lot of people who did good. I mean, it's not like one person was carrying the team. So anytime you have a lot of players, a distribution of the ball, that's good. It keeps the defense guessing. They don't know who the ball is going to go to. And when I asked them about the rivalry game, they both said, good for the community, good for the students, good for everyone involved. Always one of the most well-attended and most exciting games of the year, as it's the 2 largest schools in the county. At least is my assumption. He didn't say the two largest schools in the county, but everything else he said. But yeah, I assume it's always one of the biggest and most well-attended games is because it's, like I said, two largest county schools. Which, I went to those games a lot when I was in high school. I went, and also middle school, I went to a lot of the Harding River Valley games. But there was a lot of, I don't know, River Valley and Harding did not necessarily get along at the time. There were fights that would happen amongst the students and whatnot. Now, I don't know how many people knew about the fights, but there were fights that would happen between students, and then students would get in trouble. And now, I never partook in the fights because I wanted to watch the football game, and if you got caught fighting, as you might suspect, you were kicked out. So I was not about that. I wanted to watch the game. But yeah, a lot of fights. There was not good, there was no, goodwill towards each other. Which now there kind of seems to be, to some extent at least. I mean, as much as there can be in a rivalry game. So yeah, all in all, I mean, it was a good game. It didn't pan out as well as it usually does, but nonetheless, like I said, good game. It's not going to turn me off from going back to the next Harding River Valley game, or even a Harding game in general, or River Valley game, but I just don't go to that many high school football games. You know, I ought to be a scout. That's probably one of my dream jobs, if I could just get paid to watch high school football. Or college football, for that matter. I'll be an NFL scout. Why not? But yeah, I mean, anyways, yeah. So good game. But yeah. One second here. I wanted to talk about the Thursday night football game, which Thursday night starts. Is the start of the football week, which is interesting. I never thought about that. But Thursday night is a Sunday for football, because Sunday is like the big day. Okay, cool. Yeah, the Dolphins lost 21-31 to the Bills, which you might suspect. Josh Allen had been playing great, not just Josh Allen, the whole gang. At the Bills has been playing well. I am interested to see the stat line for this game. One second here. Tua played well, 22, well, I guess as well as can be, 22 for 34 for 146 and two touchdowns. That's a lot of throws for 146 yards. The running game did not go all that well, it seems, for the Dolphins. Well, I mean, I guess it didn't go bad. 12 for 62. That's 5 yards per carry. That's good. I don't know who Malik Washington is, but he had a couple of carries. 2 for 20. 10-yard average is always good. I don't know which one was the longest. But yeah. So, I mean, played well, but at the end of the day, the Dolphins are the Dolphins. The Bills are the Bills. See, 22 for 28, Josh Allen stat line, but that's 213 yards compared to 22 for 34, 146. So on the same amount of completions, Josh Allen had 76 more yards. Which is pretty good. James Cook did pretty well, 19 for 108, 5.7 yards a carry. That's as good as you want. Elijah Moore, 1 for 11. I think the Dolphins are going to fire Mike McDaniel at the end of the year. That's the head coach. You know, when Mike McDaniel got the job, he was I don't know. If you've seen a before and after of when he got the job to now, he looks a little beat down. He looked clean cut at the beginning and, you know, nice and cleaned up. And now he's got, like, long curly. I mean, I'm not hating, I got long hair, but, like, he's got long curly hair and it's, you know, but I don't know. And he's also really lax. Like, there's a bunch of of players, to my understanding, even according to Mike McDaniels himself, there's a lot of discipline issues because he's a rather laid-back kind of guy, so he needs to crank up the discipline. I think that he's going to lose his job, especially at 0-3 at the start of the year. There's a fair chance. But, I mean, that's about as much as that is. The Packers are doing well, 2-0. So that's always good. The Micah Parsons thing is looking to pan out a little better than I thought it would. The safeties have not given up anything incredible yet. I think the safeties are better than I thought they were going to be, but I think they're also better than a lot of people thought they were going to be, other than, obviously, the coaching staff. They didn't bother trading, drafting, free agent, pick up a corner at all. Actually, I think they did pick up one corner. But, yeah. So, I mean, I don't know what else there really is to say about that. But there's that. By the way, I would like to mention that I forgot about this, Jadeveon Clowney. This was earlier today, I do believe, I saw this. I don't know when it was. Happened on the 12th. There you go. NFL veteran Jadeveon Clowney was arrested on September 12th in Rock Hill, South Carolina, 2 days prior to signing with the Dallas Cowboys. He was arrested for trespassing and failure to identify, both misdemeanor charges. He was trying to park in a lot that was closed to parking, but then proceeded to park there despite being told the parking was not allowed, according to police reports. Okay, well, he signed with the Cowboys 2 days after his arrest. Tells you how much the Cowboys care. Well, I mean, I don't know. There's been people in the NFL to get away with a lot worse than that. Yeah. Also, he came from South Carolina, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure Jadeveon County came from the Gamecocks, which, is the South Carolina, I don't know, SCU, I don't know what you call that, South Carolina football team, South Carolina University, I think that's the name of it, but yeah, there's a lot of injuries in the NFL. I wanted to talk about that real fast. It's been a rough week for quarterbacks, especially new ones, I do believe. I'm pulling up the injury report here. But yeah, I mean, there's been quarterbacks hurt. Justin Fields is hurt. 1 second here. Justin Fields, Jaden Daniels, Tanner McGee, which, I mean, I don't even know why he's hurt or in the game. I mean, that's the backup quarterback for the Eagles. Unless Jalen Hurts got hurt. Joe Burrow got turf toe, by the way. He got high-grade turf toe, and high-grade turf toe has put this man out of commission for, it said, I do believe, up to 6 weeks. Now, I don't know exactly what turf toe is, but I was under the impression it's just like stubbing your toe. Okay, like on the turf, because, you know, turf is not grass, and it's a whole different kind of thing. As a matter of fact, Harding has turf. I was walking out on the turf today when I was interviewing the, or talking to the coaches. Again, it's not really an interview. And turf feels weird. It's like you're walking on rubber, because you are. It's not exactly grass. And also, I do believe, I could be wrong on this one, but I do believe that fields with turf cause more injuries than fields without turf. Turf is just easier to maintain, and it looks nicer. I'm a big fan of the grass stadiums, in my own opinion. I'm a big fan of the grass stadiums. It's just better. I don't know why. It's just a whole different kind of thing when you're on turf. But anyways, so yeah, Joe Burrow's out with turf toe for, you know, again, could be 6 weeks. J.J. McCarthy, let's see, who else? I mean, there's a lot of people hurt, but a lot of quarterbacks, which I find interesting. So yeah, no more quarterbacks. I looked at the whole list now. But let's see here. J.J. McCarthy, this is his first year at starting quarterback. Joe Burrow, he's going to be out for a while, according to the thing. Tanner McGee, he's going to be, well, right thumb questionable, so he shouldn't be out too long. He's just hurt. Justin Fields, this is his first year back at as a starter. I do believe so, at least, because I think he... I don't know if he got benched for Russell Wilson or if it was vice versa. I don't remember. But, yeah, Jaden Daniels is out, which is unfortunate. Commanders quarterback, great quarterback. It's been a rough week for quarterbacks. Also, Xavier Worthy is still questionable. The wide receiver for the Chiefs. Yeah, he's been out since week one. Before week one. I don't know when he got hurt exactly, but he's been out a while. As far as the Packers go, Jaden Reed's hurt, Tucker Kraft's hurt, and one of our tackles, Zach Tom. It's been rough for injuries already. And, yeah, Zach Charbonnet is hurt, which is, I guess bad, but good for me, as I have, Kenneth Walker in fantasy, but I hope that it's nothing serious. I don't want the man to be injured. Hoping for injuries is a terrible thing to do. I know a lot of people who have hoped for injuries on players, and that's terrible. I think you got to realize that players are still people, and to hope that a player gets injured is absurd. You can dislike the player, but you can't just go hoping they get hurt. But yeah. So, there's that. J.J. McCarthy was ruled out, by the way, for week three, so he will not be playing next week. I believe Brock Purdy is hurt, too. Yeah, Brock Purdy is hurt. So, it's rough, like I said. I don't know what it is, but quarterbacks are getting hurt left, right, and sideways. Doesn't usually happen like that. But it is interesting, because Joe Burrow... he's not really a scrambling quarterback. He's more of like an improviser, so like he can run, but he really only runs to like extend the play so his receivers can develop their route more and things like that. He can run. He can and has run before. Accidentally unplugged my headset there. He can and has run before, obviously. But, so that's, you know, he's hurt. Justin Fields is hurt, another scrambling quarterback. He is more of a scrambler. He runs a lot. Jaden Daniels, he's more of a scrambler slash improviser. He does a bit of both. Tanner McGee, I think that's a big thing of his, but I really couldn't tell you. I don't know much about him. And again, I don't even know how he got put in a game. Unless the Eagles were just like blowing somebody out of the water and they didn't see a reason to get Jalen Hurts injured. Brock Purdy, again, he's more of an improviser. He scrambles out to make time. So that's interesting. A lot of the mobile quarterbacks are getting hurt. Whereas, like, Jordan Love, he stands in the pocket. He's more of a pocket passer. He can scramble, but he doesn't. He chooses not to most of the time. If he does, he scrambles to make time and just steps up in the pocket, things like that, footwork. J.J. McCarthy. J.J. McCarthy scrambles, too. I think he's probably more of an improviser, though, but he does run the ball. Scrambling quarterbacks are getting hurt a lot, which, fun fact, which is why, I don't know if you guys remember Colin Kaepernick. I know that there's a lot associated with Colin Kaepernick. But I just want to talk about his time with the 49ers for a second. When he was at the 49ers, I don't remember who the coach was, but when Colin Kaepernick was a good quarterback, he was allowed to scramble. The coaches let him do him. He was a scrambling quarterback. But then they got a new coach, and the new coach didn't let him scramble, and he was not a good pocket passer. And he got hurt a couple of times, and, you know, that's pretty much that. And then he got benched. But anyways, what was the point in bringing up the Colin Kaepernick thing? I don't know. It was to tie with some story. Oh, yes. They didn't let him scramble. That's what it was. I got the brain capacity of a goldfish sometimes. They didn't let him scramble because they were afraid he was going to get injured, which is a valid concern. You don't want your quarterback injured. But now, mobile quarterbacks are just kind of the thing. If you have a mobile quarterback, you got a game, you got a one-up, because now they got to not only watch the receivers, but if the receivers are covered, the quarterback can take off. So they have to watch the quarterback, too. So good for you, I guess, but at the same time, bad for you, because your quarterback is substantially more likely to get injured. I mean, at least based off the little list I just looked at, I haven't done the actual, like, numbers, but pocket passers have been more relevant, so I'd assume the numbers skew towards pocket passers right now. But I'd assume, well, I guess the future is going to skew toward dual threat. But, you know, you win some, you lose some, I suppose. But I think that dual threat quarterbacks are going to get hurt on a much higher scale than pocket passers did. Because, one, you're not running into another guy who's running at you. Two, pocket passers tend to be tall and bigger guys. You know, scramblers, not so much. They tend to be, I mean, they're still tall. Quarterbacks are tall in general. But they're not as bulky as they once were. So there's some problems with that. But yeah, so I don't really think there's a whole much more to talk about as far as the NFL goes. So that's that. One second. The Ohio State did play. I wanted to talk about the Ohio State game for just a second. They played the Ohio Bobcats. I'm a fan of the Bobcats. I do like the Bobcats. The Bobcats lost 9-37, as one might suspect. I mean, Ohio State is probably the best football club in the country. I don't know. I'll say football school, because football club makes it sound like soccer. That's what the FC at a lot of, FC Barcelona stands for Football Club Barcelona. So, you know, if you ever see an FC at next to a soccer team, football club. Anyways, off topic. Ohio State's probably the best football school in the country right now. Formerly, it was Alabama. I know people hate it when I say that, especially Ohio State people. But when Nick Saban was at Alabama, Nick Saban was by far, and still, I don't know. I mean, he's not a fan of the, anyways, Nick Saban was by far the best coach in college football, and probably, in my opinion, the greatest of all time college football coach. I think it's awfully convenient that as soon as Nick Saban left Alabama, Alabama became a second-rate D1 school. I don't know about second-rate. That's probably pushing it. I mean, they're still good, but they're not Alabama anymore, if you know what I mean. But yeah, 9-37. The first quarter was pretty good. The second quarter was pretty good. In the first quarter, Ohio held the Buckeyes to 3 points. In the second quarter, not so much, 10 points. Third quarter, 10 points. They got killed. Fourth quarter, 14. But what'd you expect? They put up 9, which is, you know, about what you can expect. They even got a touchdown. Which I think was, yeah, Chase Hendricks. Yep. C.A. Ben-Gurra did not do well. He's the running back at the Bobcats. 12 for 24. 2-yard average is terrible. On the other side of the ball, Bo Jackson. So there are two Bo Jacksons. There's a Bo Jackson who's a retired NFL running back, by the way. I think he also played in the baseball, MLB, whatever it was called at that time. I don't know. I think he also played in baseball. I could be wrong. I mean, I think there are other people who did that, so I could be mixing him up with somebody else. But I think Tim Tebow was another one who did that, went to baseball. Tom Brady was another guy who could have gone to baseball. Kyler Murray could have gone to baseball. Yeah, see, like I said, happens all the time. So I don't know that Bo Jackson is one. But I guess his name is Lamar, not Bo. And I think, well, I guess Bo Jackson's name was Vincent Edward Jackson, not Bo. So I don't know. Lamar Jackson, also known as Bo Jackson, is a football running back for the Buckeyes. Okay, so yeah, Bo Jackson, that's crazy. You know, where did it go? Oh, I'm on the thing. 12 yards an average, so 12 yards average. So 9 carries for 109 yards is crazy. I don't know who Jay Peoples is. James Peoples, according to the internet. 7 carries, 47 yards. The Buckeyes tore up the Bobcats, as you might suspect. But yeah. I think that's it as far as football goes. There's one thing I wanted to talk about before we got to let me move the recorder. It's in the way of the clock. About 15 minutes or so. I wanted to talk about two more things as I didn't get to talk about the Charlie Kirk thing. Last week I fell asleep. Did not get to my show. My show did not happen. So, yeah, sorry about that, by the way. I wanted to talk about how Albania's prime minister... Okay, gotta stay with me on this one. Albania's prime minister appointed an AI-generated minister to tackle corruption. So, Albania's prime minister put an artificial intelligence in charge of, well, I don't know, you know, made it a watchdog, essentially. Now, the prime minister said that Diela, I think is the name of the AI minister. The prime minister said that Diela, which is, I think, again, one of the AI minister, will be a member of the cabinet who is not presently member of the cabinet who is not present physically but has been created virtually. He said in Edie Rama said in a post on Facebook. He said that the AI would help that the public tenders will be 100% free of corruption and will help the government work faster and with full transparency. I think that putting an AI in charge of any facet of your government is by far one of the dumbest things that we could have ever... Anybody could have done, period. I think Albania made a terrible decision. That's terrible. Because, you know, like I said, an AI, an AI put in charge of your government, I feel like is going to be, I might have just watched too many movies, okay, but like, what's to stop this AI from just like, pointing fingers at everybody? I mean, like, you're really just going to trust this robot? I mean, I assume it's going to be gathering evidence, I suppose, but you're really just going to trust this artificial intelligence to be your watchdog, to be the one that roots out corruption. I just think that is the dumbest idea anybody in the civilized world has ever had. The civilized world being all of it, I guess, at this point. I don't think there's any uncivilized parts. I guess it depends on what you mean by civilized, but I don't think there are any uncivilized parts of the world, but so in any part of the world, terrible decision. You don't want to put an AI in charge of anything. I still think that people should be in charge of things. I understand people have a tendency to make errors or lie or things like that, but I also think that robots are not perfect. Robots make mistakes, and I don't think that putting a robot in charge of a subset of the government, that job it is to hunt down, and I don't know about hunt down, that's a bit extreme, but to hunt down people who are corrupt. I think that that's just terrible. And who set the guidelines of corruption? Like, I just don't understand the whole thing. I mean, it's doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, like I said. By the way, if you have anything to add here, we are in the last, 18 minutes now. It's about to be 48, so 12 minutes. 12 minutes left in the show here. So if you've been thinking about calling in or have anything to say about anything, feel free to do so at 740-383-9944. All right. But yes, so Albania has put an AI in charge of, I wonder if they say what the office is called. I mean, I assume they gave it a title. I don't know. Let's see real fast. Oh, by the way, Diela apparently translates to the word is the female form of the word for sun in the Albanian language. Diela uses AI's up-to-date models and techniques to guarantee accuracy in offering the duties it is charged. It is charged with, according to Albania's National Agency for Information website. Interesting. Okay. Diela, depicted as a figure in a traditional Albanian folk costume, was created earlier this year in cooperation with Microsoft as a virtual assistant on the eAlbania public service platform, where she has helped users navigate the site and get access to about 1 million digital inquiries and documents. I mean that's fine, I guess. You can help it. You can have it track down documents. I figure an AI is pretty good at that. An AI is not good. I wouldn't put an AI in charge of charging anybody with anything. Or I don't know about charging, but accusing anybody of anything. That just seems a little off-putting to me. Seems a little dystopian. But maybe I'm just the lunatic here. Well, it might not even be happening. Lawmakers will vote on the new cabinet, but it was unclear whether Rama will ask for a vote on Diela's virtual post. I hope I say that. Diela. It might be Diela. I think that's how I've been pronouncing it. Diela's virtual post. Legal experts say more work may be required to establish Diela's official status. Which is good. I mean, I don't think that putting an AI in charge of anything is a good idea. I just don't. Seems like a dumb idea, like I've said now. But Albania is going to do what Albania wants to do, I guess. I'm not in charge of Albania, nor do I live in or near Albania. And for those of you who don't know where Albania is, it's over by, like, Italy and Yugoslavia. Yeah, over in that area. Cool. Down by the boot, even. Now that I think about it. Yeah. Yes, down by the boot. Okay. But yeah. So, there's that. And I guess with the last Looks to be about 8 minutes here. Once again, we are in the last 8 minutes. If you guys have anything to call in, or to add or say, feel free to call in at 740-383-9944. Alrighty. Well, I guess now we can talk about, I did not get to talk about, I know it's a little bit late news at this point. I mean, I don't know if it's still being talked about or not. I don't know. There's a lot of things I want to talk about. Okay, let's talk about the Jimmy Kimmel thing instead, because it ties in. So the Jimmy Kimmel, I don't have the quote in front of me. But Jimmy Kimmel said, God, I wish I had the quote. He basically just said that, one second here, I'm trying to find the quote. It's bothering me. Kimmel said that the MAGA gang was desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them, and of trying to score political points from it. So, there's the Jimmy Kimmel quote. I think that saying that the murderer was a group of part of MAGA maybe might be a bit too much. Maybe, I don't know. I don't really know. But, I don't know that it was worth enough to get him. Sorry. I don't know that it was worth enough to get him taken off the TV for. And, they still got to pay him for a year, is my understanding. Don't know that Jimmy Kimmel and, I guess just Jimmy Kimmel. I don't know that Jimmy Kimmel's going to apologize. I don't know. And I don't know, sorry, man, I have, like, mucus in my throat, I guess. But, I don't know exactly what, it was, but the chairman of the FCC said that, Mr. Carr, who accused Kimmel of, quote, the sickest conduct possible, end quote, and demanded an apology, he said, we can do this the easy way or the hard way, he said on The Benny Show, which is a conservative podcast. These companies can find ways to change conduct and take action, frankly, on Kimmel, or there's going to be additional work for the FCC ahead. I don't know, there's more quotes than that, but, I mean, I don't think that the chairman of the FCC should be going around saying things like that, but I mean, I don't know. I don't think Kimmel should have been taken off the air, same as I don't think Colbert should be taken, canceled. Colbert was canceled. I mean, I think Kimmel's just suspended until further notice, perhaps indefinitely, maybe, depending on how that whole thing plays out. But, the Jimmy Kimmel thing, I don't know that Jimmy Kimmel should have been let go. I mean, he didn't say anything extraordinarily bad, but I do think he's right when he said that they are using it for political points. I think that's 100% true. and as a matter of fact, I don't remember who said it, but somebody said that should Charlie Kirk had been alive or been around to see it, to see the suspension of. Joe Rogan for some reason. The suspension of Jimmy Kimmel, as well as the cancellation of Stephen Colbert. I guess he was around for the cancellation of Stephen Colbert. But I don't know that he said anything about it. But if he was around for the suspension of Jimmy Kimmel, he probably would have been against the suspension because he was such a free speech, activist, I think is what he would refer to himself as a free speech activist. Which I think is probably, I mean, true. I mean, the man went out and said wild things on college campuses. But, I don't know. I mean, I used to watch Charlie Kirk. He used to be semi-reasonable. And then, I feel that when Donald Trump came into the picture, that whole crowd of people, like, Matt Walsh, Candace Owens, I guess Charlie Kirk, but he was a given, I suppose. Ben Shapiro, like that kind of group of people. Jordan Peterson, because he wasn't even political at all before Trump. At least not to my knowledge. He went rather far right. But before that, he was just given, like, motivational speeches, I guess is what you would, like self-development, I don't know what you would call them. Basically just, like, pick yourself up by your bootstraps, that whole kind of thing. But that was him. But I watched a video from Charlie Kirk from about a month ago, the day he was shot, and he has dialed it back to a more semi-reasonable stance. But he now, like the thing I watched, one of the examples, he was debating on gun control, and he said that, I don't know, it was a long dialogue, but I mean, he's debated some points, but he said that he would be okay if they, made like a training program type thing you had to go to, and then you had to get a license, and then after you were licensed, you could buy a firearm. And Charlie Kirk said he would be all right with that. But then, like, after the whole spiel, he said that he actually thinks we need less gun control. And now, maybe I'm just the dumb one here, but I don't understand how getting a license, how requiring a license to own a firearm makes it I don't know how that's less gun control. I mean, if you have to get a license to get a gun, then they can easily take the license away from you. But I guess it's the same concept with the right to bear arms. I mean, you know, felons aren't allowed to have guns because their rights were suspended, and things like that. So there's that whole kind of thing. But I don't understand his stance, if that's what he really believes, because he explained the whole gun license. So I assume that's his actual stance, but if that was his actual stance, then why is he saying they need less gun control? Because that's obviously not less gun control. I mean, it's more gun control. I mean, you've now added an extra step before you can buy a firearm, which isn't, I guess, necessarily bad, I suppose. I guess, I don't know, but, yeah, so, you know, there's that, but, I guess we only got 15 seconds, time flew by on this one. Thank you for listening, I appreciate everybody, and, if you dislike something somebody has to say, don't go shooting people, that's a stupid decision to make. What kind of a lunatic are you? Alrighty, have a good night, I appreciate everybody for listening, and, stay safe.
The Talking Place. The legendary star of